We're ready to go. Well, two things happened from last week. One is, you didn't fully understand number one that we went over. And two is, and this we'll review number one when we get there. Two is, nobody understands their eternal self. What the heck is an eternal self? Does anybody want to present that? I mean, Ken and
we're coming
Jennifer
in pairs.
Too.
We're coming in pairs.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Now, does anybody want to explain what an eternal self is? I mean, if we're, this thing is titled Making Your Eternal Self Active in Your Life Today, what in the world are we talking about? Because if you don't understand what that's all about, gee, I don't know what the hell we're doing here. And what I found out over the week with the people I talked to, they don't know either. So, would anybody like to open the floor?
Yeah, I'll take a swing. But I want to tell you first, I can't deny this. I think habitually, just from the way I've been thinking most of my life, an eternal self, probably the first association I have is something like a self that goes on after death. And I guess I tend to think of that off into the future. That said, what I think I have understood from what you're talking about is, that's kind of tougher. It's almost like it's something like it's an essence or a data or information or a concept that recurs and can be accessed.
Well, you contradict yourself. You want to start over again? Or do you want to add to it?
No.
You want to subtract from it? You want to modify it?
No, I really don't. Because that's the way I didn't see the contradiction, so I guess I'd like to know what it is.
When you say a self that continues on into the future, doesn't that contradict recurring?
Good question. Yeah, that's a really good question.
Well, of course it's a good question. It's called, Andrew, listening.
What?
It's called listening.
Those two don't necessarily contradict, no.
Well, tell me how it doesn't.
I mean, something that recurs would, in a sense, continue into the future.
In a sense, see? There you go. You can throw in those damn adjectives and adverbs and all of that kind of stuff. It doesn't change anything. In your mind, it contradicts. But okay, that's all right.
It contradicts.
Yeah. But what is the self?
They've been asking that question for eons. I don't know.
I know. That's what I'm talking about here. If you don't know, if others don't know, what are we talking about awakening your eternal self in your life today? What the hell are you doing?
That's a good question. The self seems to be some kind of an emergent quality. It's got a life of its own.
It doesn't have a life of its own. It's not an emergent quality.
I'm saying that simply because I talked, well, nobody else knows this. I called you up about 2-3 weeks ago and I said, 2 weeks ago, in fact, and I said, it just doesn't seem like there's an intrinsic self, according to Buddhism and according to what you're saying. And you said,
wait a minute, whoa, pause a minute. I don't really give a damn about Buddhism.
Well, let's just talk more about the issue of an
injury. Talk only about what have I said to you. When I introduced an eternal self, originally, I gave it a secondary name. And the reason I gave it a secondary name is so that the secondary name and the explanation of the secondary name would make it all quite clear. What is the secondary name and how does it make it clear? If you're going to talk to other people about their eternal self, what the hell are you talking about? Jump right in, Pat. Don't hang back and not say anything, or Gina, or Susan, or Vicente, or.
Does seem that you said that I think the secondary name was a privileged being.
And so.
A privileged being, I think we said was a being that has decided how it will be alive in the universe and lives that way.
Then what's an eternal self?
Must be close to the same. Must be the same.
Why would you say close to the same? That was a secondary. It's kind of like a subtitle of a title.
Can I tell you why I said it was the same? Close to the same. Yeah. I thought maybe an eternal self was something of a. It's something that. I don't want to say it exists. It sort of exists. It does sort of continue. I really should back out of this.
You see, you went right back into immortal. And I said from the get-go, it has nothing to do with immortal.
Yeah.
Now, this is the point. And so therefore, any conversation about your eternal self, or if in any way we're talking about how to awaken this eternal self, you don't know what the heck is going on or what you're doing, then the whole conversation is a waste. And if you can't explain it to someone else, then whatever you say is another waste. And if you don't know then how it functions in your life or not, then it's all a waste.
Okay. Yes.
So here is a question. Who are you? Do you know? What is your life all about? Do you know that? And maybe you can't answer these questions. So I guess maybe I ought to try some different questions, okay? All right. As long as we're talking with you, Andrew, here is a question.
Yep.
Do you want to die?
No.
Do you want to live on?
Yeah, I do.
Who is that? You know the guy that's been married 9 times who's on the radio and interviews people? You know the guy I'm thinking of?
Is that Larry King?
Larry King. And somebody asked him that question. Did he want to live forever or something like that? He said, you bet your ass I do. Now, the question is, do you want to live on? And your answer is with everybody. Even someone who commits suicide, if they had another option, their answer is, you bet your ass I do. Like the question when you were a little kid, Andrew. What will you be when you grow up? My question to you is, if you want to live...
When I die?
If you want to live on, what will you be when you live on? Doesn't this seem sort of like a question somewhere you should have asked yourself?
Well, I think I did. I did ask myself that.
And?
Then I asked other people. It didn't really seem like, I don't know. Nobody seemed to have any ideas. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I go on.
Jennifer has Big answer that she just chomping to tell us. Or hide her head, one or the other.
You mean, what does he want? Are you asking, what does he want to be?
If you want to live on, if you don't want to die, and you want to live on, what do you want to live on as?
The same.
The same? Huh? I mean, it's kind of like the question when you were a little kid. What are you going to be when you grow up? And you might say, I want to be a fireman or a nurse or a teacher or something. That gave you some foundation in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that you can say, when I ask you, what do you want to be when you go on, and you don't know, that you don't have any kind of foundation in your life? That everything you do today, no matter what it is crap shit.
Meaning, crap shit's a term used often. What does that mean?
It means, like what she said, go on with what she is. She doesn't. Two little kids and Aaron, and your life just the way it is. You want that to continue.
Well, not exactly
is the problem.
She wants the kids to grow up.
What?
She wants the kids to grow up.
And Aaron, too.
Yeah. While we're go up and get the hell out of the house.
Well, there might be better odds at one.
But that's what we're talking about here. You don't have an image like when you were... My mother dressed up my brother and I one time. We were out walking all dressed up and fancy, and some guy came along, "Oh, what cute boys you are!" And he put his hand on my head, and I reached up and hit his hand and said, "Get your hand off my head!" Well, like the same thing, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Can I offer some assistance?
Sure.
For me, it starts with, What can't I do in this lifetime because it doesn't continue? It's like, oh, I don't pay attention to that because I could never accomplish that in this lifetime. But then if I think, I will continue, then it's like there's a whole list of things that come back on. There's a whole bunch
How
of things that come back on the project.
Is it possible that you won't continue unless you decide how you will continue?
Yes. So I'm saying if I want to... An eternal self would look at those projects that have a long-term...
What does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Oh,
you're
going to
keep doing this. You're going to be a contractor for the rest.
Oh no!
did I miss something out?
No. I'm just trying to help along that.
That a contractor is only happy when he gets a job. And when he gets rid of a job.
When he gets to create things. To create things and bring them into reality.
What?
For enjoyment.
What things?
Things that make other people happy.
Hogwash.
No, of course
not. You don't really care whether the brewery is happy.
Of course I do.
You do only because if they're happy, you get more work.
No.
You got another job and another job and another job because they were happy.
I'm happy because I like to be around happy people.
So what is this? So your next life is to be around happy people. There aren't any.
Well, that's why I can keep going forever. I'm just saying to facilitate anybody that might be having trouble taking this step into thinking of an eternal self is that, well, as an eternal self, you can look at things that you wouldn't consider in this lifetime because it's...
But you haven't defined yourself. You're saying a nothing something. If you say, I'm going to be a fireman, it's because you have some image or picture of a fireman being and doing something. And if you're going to be an eternal self, would you please give me a picture or an image of you as an eternal being doing being what? I think there is more to that than just meets the eye. It doesn't do you any good to say, oh, I'm a spiritual eternal being, and so I'll be something. Patrick, you want to join in on this at all?
Actually, I'm having a great deal of fun having other people actually talk on with them. Yeah, I know what you mean, Pat.
Just as your life today depends on your deciding what you will be when you grow up, and you decided you'd be a contractor, or maybe you got there, but somewhere along the line you made that decision.
I wanted to be a carpenter when I was a little boy.
Same thing. Carpenters become superintendents because the superintendents are dumb, so you be one.
I never made it that far. I was happy where I'm at.
Then is it possible that your continuing or not continuing depends on your deciding what you will be when you live on? I'm just asking, is that a possibility?
Sure.
Say again?
Yeah, that's a possibility. I was kind of thinking of it like you kind of make a self-image, a personal mental projection of yourself that you relate to.
But I'm turning this around the other way. What you're trying to say is, I want life so I can live on and become something. I'm saying, what if life is saying you have to decide who it is or what it is you will be in order for your life to continue? What if that's possible? What if that's true?
You have to decide what you will be in order for your life to continue.
What if I disagree?
You can disagree with me.
Well, why do I have to decide what I want to be? Can't I decide what I want to live or how I want to live?
Okay, tell me that.
Okay.
But don't when you tell me how you want to be or how you want to live, don't use adjectives and adverbs, because they don't tell me nothing. And they don't tell you anything either.
Okay.
You don't know what happiness, peacefulness, success.
Yeah.
So those all of okay.
Okay. I would want to, I think as an immortal self, I would take every quandary, every question, every something of interest that came up, and I would deal with it through completion, because I know that I have nothing but time. I don't have to bring something else into my life, like something over here or something over there, that would interrupt what I would say is the process of dealing with that idea. I want to build a castle.
So I
would like to.
Do you live everything today to completion?
No.
Then you don't want to live that, because you're not living it today. You want to hope to maybe then become that you would live things to completion. Is it possible that if you're not willing to do it today, or are not doing it today, you will not do it in a live-on situation? In fact, if what happens if you're not willing to do it today, you won't live on. Because you would have no live-on tie or awareness of self to live on. Is that possible?
I understood the first part. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the second part. I'd like to hear you talk about more about the second part.
No, I want to hear Ken here. I'll get to that later.
Let me see if I understand what you're saying. Oh, okay. So it is true. Essentially, that's where I'm at right this moment. Of course, you know that. And that is my dream for this life. is that right now in my life, because I am whatever I am, a contractor, a father, or whatever, it seems to me that I have too many projects, so to speak. And my desire would be to just take one project at a time, or at least to be clearer, be able to work on a particular project to the point where I'm not called away to something else. And then...
Wait just a minute now. Is it possible that for you to live on, let's have a definition of you to live on.
Okay.
You to live on means that when on, you remembered Ken. Is that okay?
Okay.
So and, that, and means that, that if you lived on and didn't remember Ken in any way, one way or another, then in a sense, you exist, but you didn't live on. Is that okay?
So Ken,
yep.
Ken is doing these projects.
What?
So Ken, who's the Ken doing the projects? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, is that okay? Living on is being aware that you lived on. If you are not aware of your that you're living on, then it's immaterial as to whether you do or you don't.
Okay. So what are the qualities?
What I'm asking you, is there anything that you are doing today, any major function that you would say, this is the way I would be and live eternally and be doing that today, so that if you lived on, you would say, oh yeah, I used to do that and I'm still doing it.
Yeah, so essentially, death wouldn't have any effect.
So death would not have
any
effect, per se,
right.
That's right. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
so that means that if you are not living as an eternal live-on being today, in fact, even though you exist, you don't live on, because you're unaware of living on. You exist, but you're not alive in that regard.
In that regard.
You okay with that, Andrew?
Yeah, I just realized that your proposal about being able to remember would certainly deal with all of my concerns and efforts to try to continue.
Isn't that about what I said? As a privileged being, you get to choose how you will be and live eternally, and you declare that.
I could do that one.
Huh?
Yeah, I didn't know I could do that one. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I didn't think that was what we were talking about, one, and two is, heck, if I could remember, at least, if all I could do is remember, that's fine. I don't then have to worry about continuing as I am today, as long as I remember.
But that's the only way today that you can know that you continued from yesterday is you can remember yesterday. There is no continuation if you can't remember. Is there any...
The only reason I...
What?
The only reason I think memory is the only reason I think I exist at all. Memory seems to be everything.
Well, maybe yes, maybe no, but that's beside the point. It does have it's a big issue of whether you continue or not. Is that okay? That if you do not have and live something that you are willing to remember,
mm-hmm.
or to memory in that regard,
mm-hmm.
then you don't live on. This is what I said, you don't live on, but yet you mm-hmm. do not live on in the same way. What if you don't live on because Ken would be Charlie Smith? He doesn't live on, but in fully remembering Ken, he lives on, does not live on.
What would you say? Hang on a second.
Is there a potential that he fully, throw that word out, is it possible that Ken will, having declared how he will be alive, will remember Ken in another lifetime?
Or even if he doesn't remember Ken directly, he remembers his declaration of how he will be alive, and then that is so familiar to Ken or to Charlie Smith in the next lifetime that he is in fact living Ken.
Interesting.
Huh? Yeah. And yet everything we seem to be doing is to pay Caesar at the present time, and it's almost nothing we really are willing to be willing to do eternally. Is it possible that you pay Caesar today and you pay for that simply because you lose yourself in paying Caesar today?
Definitely. I got a question.
I got an answer.
Does that imply that whoever the hell I am today, and I'm paying everything to Caesar upon the death of this body that I happen to be occupying, I sort of just slip back into the soup of mind, and I don't have any, there is nothing to remember, or there's no memory that can ever be resurrected.
Is it possible that that's what Carl Jung was talking about in the big unconscious? What if you have what?
Collective unconscious.
I didn't read it.
Collective unconscious, same thing. So what if you slip into the collective unconscious, but in that then you have lost your individuality. And the loss of individuality is a loss of self, is a loss of continuation. What if that's true?
Seems to be what we're complaining about.
Of course it is. So, what are you willing to do about that? If anything. You pay Caesar, and then you die. Well, okay, but then you slip into the big collective unconscious. Well, whoopee-doo! And then religion comes along and says, oh, no, that's becoming oneness with God. I got news for you. You like your individuality, and you really, really, really want your individuality to continue. Collective unconscious be damned. That's not for you. Tell me I'm wrong.
I got another question.
All right.
Is it possible then that somehow or other in some other lifetime prior to Patrick coming alive or coming alive as Patrick, since I am alive and I've had some entity enliven this body,
wait a minute, possible that wait a minute, stop! I'm going to ask you one question. Is you is or is you not samurai?
I am samurai. And
no, you're saying...
Caesar. He was paying Caesar. How come I'm alive?
You're saying, did you... did you create your aliveness before? And I'm saying, let's assume you did. What was that aliveness that you are continuing? You can't tell me.
The aliveness I'm continuing is the declaration of me, or the autonomy of my existence, that I am Lord and Master of myself.
But you haven't made that declaration and lived that declaration and defined and described that declaration. You've made a statement that is meaningless to you. Now what?
But you've changed the subject.
I did.
I was asking you about if we're going to slip back into the collective unconsciousness, would I not have done that after Samurai?
I don't know where that question is all about. If I change the subject, I'm lost.
That you were making the statement that unless we have a really clear thing that we're prepared to continue, then we slip back into kind of an undefined nothingness, no individuality. So how the hell did I survive?
Because no. You can go back because of Samurai in the DNA of your body that carries it forward and awaken that. Don't disagree with that. But you don't have an overall continuing sense of yourself. Because even if we go back to a Samurai, who was you before that?
Oh yeah, that's right. But I'm still dealing with your statement of, you know, in the absence of an active declaration of who we are, there's nothing to continue.
That's right.
So how the hell, that just doesn't jive. I don't understand how that fits. That arguably, this thing that I'm supposed to, that makes some a body alive, should have slipped back in the soup long time ago.
Let's assume that. Let's assume you did. Maybe Samurai has nothing to do with you. I have said a gazillion times, your past lives are yours, but you didn't live them.
Absolutely.
Then you are not Samurai.
I think you've changed the subject again. If I have no active declaration of who I am in this lifetime, that when this body dies, something, just whatever's left, slips into the soup and does not have any chance of continuing.
Let's assume that's the case.
Yeah.
I've said that as a what if. What if that's true? And there is nothing to say that that's not true. And the fact is, there are more things to say that that is true than otherwise.
Then does that lead that if that's true, does that lead this to this life that's enlivened Patrick is a one-off, and that's it?
Let's assume that's true. And then in the next lifetime, there is sort of a, and I hate this word, but in a subconscious way of somehow or other continuing. But in the next lifetime, you're continuing as Johnny Jones, not as Patrick. You are just, well, here I am, Johnny Jones. I'm not Patrick. What the hell are you talking about with this Patrick shit?
And is there a difficulty with that?
I'm asking you if there is a difficulty of that. If you want to continue, I, Patrick, want to continue, you're now Johnny Jones and you didn't continue. Is that okay?
Yep.
Be very careful as to whether that is okay. Because I think what you want to do is you not only want to continue, you want to be aware of your continuance. Because without an awareness of your continuance, it's like, well, here I am, starting all over again.
And in a sense, isn't there something magical about that?
Maybe there is. What I'm asking you then, when I say who are you and what's going on in life, let's call it magical. But for a year and a half now, you've been confronted with, I want to continue. If you say, I want to continue, I want my eye to continue, I want my awareness to continue, I want to continue. What I'm saying in all of this, as from the get-go, is then maybe you have to do something in order to have that awareness or continuance be a part of your life.
Well, I think one of the things that you may have accomplished in the last 19 years is that relative to me, is that you sure as hell have boxed me often enough that I'm aware of way more of me than simply Patrick trying to get along in this world. And you've encouraged me to refine my understanding and declaration of who I am. It falters, it does all that kind of stuff. But I don't really have a lot of problem with continuing. You know, I've shared with you some of the...
The hell you don't!
I've shared with you some of the stuff about what I'm facing now about the continuance of Patrick, and that's kind of scary a bit, but it's sort of like I'm leaving here, I'm going to leave some old friends, and I'm wondering about the new friends.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not talking about continuance of Patrick's body. Forget it. That ain't going to happen. I'm talking about
that's for sure.
I'm talking about the continuance of the Patrick that occupies the Patrick body.
Yes.
Well, I don't know where yes is, and I don't know where the hell we are, so let me continue with where we're going.
Can I postulate something?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay. So, if you're going to have some idea, if Patrick is going to have some idea from one life to another, the life of Samurai is going to carry into the life of Patrick right now. Okay. And so, if you're going to have an image of this eternal being, then it's going to have to be something that's understood in no matter what you're born into.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct.
So, in order to define an eternal being, it would not have to be defined by temporary
absolutely,
definition.
Absolutely. That is not only in terms of that, but your life today. That your life today does not define you as an eternal being. Yes.
So
it could reveal it, but not define it.
So a clue would be that you can only talk in a way you could only use, allow me this, eternal descriptions.
That's right. But what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Like,
what are eternal descriptions?
That's right. The minute you then say, I would be willing to be and live this eternally, then you have gotten into eternal descriptions. And
right.
If you language that and act that and do that, you have gotten into eternal functions.
Right. So no matter what lifetime you wake up, no matter when, the words that you utter to describe this eternal self would be applicable.
But you said, listen very carefully, the words you use to describe, not to talk about as such. The words can be used to describe that, but you've got to get out of languaging, is what I'm telling everybody else, because the languaging never gets or enables you to get into an awareness or eternal awareness of yourself.
So, how do we do that?
Well, we've done a whole gathering on describing, but this is what we're talking about, which I'll get into in a little bit here. Okay. Now, what I've said before is, the universe is not wasteful. It's simple. In fact, is the universe is so simple that it's cheaper energetically and materially or whatever. It's cheaper and simpler for the universe to recreate you than it is to continue you. Does that make sense? Wipe you out and start over again is easier than keep you going.
You never liked remodeling.
What?
You never liked remodeling. You always wanted that clean slate.
No, I actually did like remodeling.
You told me too many excuses. You But the remodeler always says that, well, look what I started with.
Well, I know, but the very best thing about it is remodeling is you've always got somebody else to blame.
Well, so in essence, as far as the universe is concerned, it's easier to tear the building down and build a new one rather than to deal with the one.
But if you want to keep going, and that's right, keep going and remodel and recur, etc., then you have to do the extra work to do that recurring.
Yeah.
Okay. And so my question is, have you ever considered the possibility that you have not considered, like a privileged being, if you have not considered who and what you will be and declared that and lived that, you won't live on?
I'm going to be a remodeler.
But you got to do the remodeling. It takes extra work.
Oh, well.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
I think I'm a little bit confused here. What is the what is the least energetic way of the universe supported?
Is what?
What is the least energetic way
least
of the universe?
Energetic way of what is that?
Is for the universe to recreate you than to carry you on. Because your biggest struggles in life is, well, I did that and then I got to overcome that and then I got to fix this and then I got to do this. Oh shit. Let's cut that out. Let's start over again. So you're not carrying on all those problems you're struggling with today. What if the universe says that, but let's say at the same time, you say, wait a minute, I want to continue. Then you have to put the extra energy into yourself and life in order to do it, because the universe will not ordinarily do that. Did we lose everybody?
So the universe essentially works on the basis of entropy, and that as an individual entity in this universe, I got to supply the energy if I want to function outside of entropy.
Let's assume that's the case. So it's easier for the universe to just let you die and start over again. Tear down the building and rip out the foundation and start over again is many, many times frequently easier. Maybe more costly in a lot of ways, but it's redesign than to live with the problems of remodeling you.
I'm sorry I've got all these questions, Roger, but why the hell would the problem, why the hell would a universe be concerned with a problem? Does the universe even recognize problems?
I didn't say that. What I said was the universe always worked from the simple side of things, so it's simpler and easier for the universe to start over again. If you want to do other than start over again in every lifetime, then it's up to you. No, the universe doesn't treat it as a problem. The universe says, hey, entropy, start over again. That's okay. That's the way I function. That's the process of the universe. And you have to, if you want to continue, work against the process of the universe. Or as Ken says, entropy. And then start over again.
Okay, well, I think I got a good picture of it.
What if that's true about life? The question is, can you afford to wait any longer to find out what's likely to happen?
It's
dissolve back likely into to happen soup when? Or make some kind of declaration.
Yeah. So that's the question. Now, let me ask you a question. What is an eternal being? I'm right back to the same question. Yeah. What is an eternal being or eternal self that we're talking about here? See, I spent hours over the weekend with several people and found out no conceivable idea of any of this. Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to wake my eternal self. Well, what the hell is that? I don't know.
Is it not simply that which I declare that I am willing to live eternally? In the absence of...
No, obviously of it's not. Why did I just say that? Because all we're talking about is you can say that, but if you ain't doing it, the saying doesn't count. You must declare who and how you will be alive eternally. Then you must make that choice, then make the declaration, and then live that. If you're not living that today, the choice is a non-choice. The declaration is a non-declaration. Because what you're really doing is declaring, well, this is what I want to be able to do and get to eventually, being able to complete every project. Well, that's not what you're living. That's why I asked Ken that. Then you're not, your declaration is not a declaration of self. It's a declaration of who you hope maybe might be able to come about and be.
I get that. Yep.
For most people, an eternal self from within is not sufficient. I don't care what Buddhism, crapism, Christianity, Islam, I don't care what anybody says, your eternal self from within, oh, I'm an eternal being, is not sufficient. You, or most people, you want an eternal self to appear from without. And say, that's me! Is this not true? There's no substantiality to say, I'm an eternal being. Oh, this is what I want. This is who I am. This is the way I live. You want to see it in front of you.
That's true.
Fact is, you want to see it in front of you in such a way that it comes in the form of a t-shirt bearing gifts.
Isn't that why they came up with faith? Because we've never had something to see.
What?
Isn't that why they came up with faith? Because we never had anything we could see.
Does anybody hear? I didn't
why
hear.
They, why they came up they... with faith?
Oh, no, that's a religious scam. Because, yes, they didn't have anything to say because then you are supposed to have faith in the church or those people who established the church or the religion or the whatever. But if they gave you the opportunity to make the choice, then you don't need the religion.
Right.
Okay. Are you willing to say that everything you do, especially what you are proud of, is your eternal self clearly revealed? Remember those eight things? By the way, those eight things are the provenance of your eternal self.
The what?
Eight things seem so trite, but we've gotten in the habit of just them eight things. What eight things are we talking about? Provenance of your eternal self. Okay.
Can you explain provenance, please?
What?
Provenance, I'm not understanding the word.
It is a history and a true image of you. Provenance comes from, like you may understand, if I buy a picture and I can know that she painted the picture, she sold it to him, and there's a record of that, and he sold it to Roger over here. Then we have the history from Jennifer to me that I know this is a genuine Jennifer. Provenance. So the provenance is the history of yourself, or in this case, the eight things are the provenance, or a history in this lifetime of your eternal self. Actually, it's an eternal self, personal self in action, communion. And that those eight things are revealing your eternal self looking back at you. Is that okay? So when I say, okay, well, I developed Cheetah Hot Springs or whatever, and Alaska Land in Fairbanks, I can look at those and what I did, not how they are today maybe, but what I did and et cetera, that is my eternal self looking back at me. Okay? So I have a clear image of my eternal self. My question to that then is that the self I'm willing to live eternally? Would I live doing Chena Hot Springs or Alaska Land or being self-employed or all of these things? Would I live that eternally? Yes. No doubt, question or otherwise. Okay? Does the world around you reveal the self and life you are living today? Yes or no? Andrew, Patrick, anybody here? Ken?
Commodore.
Jennifer? Corolla? Commodore?
I say yes.
Yes.
I thought it was. I thought it was how I felt about the world around me that revealed how I'm living my life.
Why don't you answer the question? Does the world around you reveal the self and life you are living today? Yes or no?
No.
Thank you.
No.
So it is not the world is revealing you today. It is how you feel or what you may say about the world that reveals the self and life you are living today. Very important.
Okay.
How is it possible for the world around you to reveal the self and life you are living today?
How is it possible?
Yeah. If it's not, if right now it's not, it's how you feel about the world, or what you say about things that reveal how you're living your life, that's okay. But how is it possible, do you think, that the world around you can reveal directly the self and life you are living?
To whom?
Huh?
To whom?
To me.
To you and not to me. Oh.
Yeah. Whatever you see about me seeing me is you seeing you. Anybody? Come on, Andrew. Patrick?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking like, man, I wish I could remember from yesterday, but I can't.
You mean how can that happen?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can say, like Patrick, it can't happen. No, I'm going to say it can happen, so you then tell me how it can happen that the world around you today can fully reveal the self and life you truly desire. Or that's the way you're living, excuse me. To reveal how you're living.
To somebody else other than me.
No. Reveal it to you. You know, we're coming at this thing from the first question, who the hell are you? And we're talking about are you willing to know who or what you are, or does that mean anything to you, then right now, it's if you're pissy and unhappy, that reveals the self and life you're living. But how is it possible? And then if it is possible, well, let's go there first. Do you think that it is possible, Patrick, since you answered no before, that it is possible for the life around you to directly reveal the self and life you're living today? Yes or no?
How is not a yes or no.
Oh, yes it is.
The you know, you've told me that it's really important to stay one step ahead of everybody, and it doesn't matter what the hell is going on.
I'm staying one step ahead of you.
Absolutely. In having made the declaration of who I am, then everything in the world makes sense.
What is this declaration of who you am is?
I've declared how I will be alive.
Yeah, so what? You're alive as Patrick. Is that any good advantage?
No, that's not.
My question to you was, the privilege you have as an eternal being is that you have the privilege of declaring how you will be and live eternally. Don't short cycle that, or don't cut that off.
So that, yeah, not simply how I will be alive. Yes. I get your point, yes.
So that when you are living as an eternal being, or as an eternal self in that way, then the universe, which has promised to be to you as you are to the universe, then everything around you that you see is of that same ilk. It isn't a matter about any longer what you say or what you feel. It's a direct observation of when you are living as an eternal being, everything around you is of that ilk.
No, I don't actually. Hang on. So are you saying that until and unless I'm willing to live that way, the universe is not to me as I am to it?
No, I'm saying in that regard, it reveals how you're living your life only through your emotions, or how, or what are your words, which are actually then statements about your feelings or emotions or judgments. The world is not to you as you are, it is to you as you feel about the world, unless or until the time you are living as an eternal being.
So, Roger, I didn't understand. What functional difference is there in living, I mean, physical living, other than just what I...
Tell me what you think. You've been around for lots of years. What would be a functional difference?
Okay, maybe let's see here, what I have chosen as the image of the eternal self, and more maybe, I guess, say directly, the way I act upon that.
No, you put yourself right in the box again. Discontent. If you choose how you will be alive and be alive eternally and live that, is there likely to be any discontent in that?
No, I guess not.
So then, what you say and what you feel is almost always an expression of your discontent.
Yes.
So then, the point is, the universe, you will have no discontent in and of the universe around you, because it will match up with the eternal self and life you're living, is so that it is directly a revelation of you. As long as you're not living as an eternal being in that regard, are you not living your discontent? Isn't it likely? Allow me that.
Yes.
Then yeah. your expressions about the world around you, or your feelings about the world around you, are feelings about and expressions of your discontent.
But do you have any complaints? Do you have any complaints at all, Andrew, about the world?
Yes, sure. I die.
Wait now. What I've said about discontent is, could you be angry and not discontent? I'm now saying discontent. You could have complaints, but not be discontent.
All right. Raj, just so you know, I just feel like there's a piece missing between what you said about living my eternal self and then the universe itself being to me. There's just something I'm not seeing in between those two moments, those two.
Why? Do you not say that the universe will be to you, but if you're not living as you truly desire, you won't see that that is what you're doing. You will only see through your emotions. Your eyes are clouded with your damn feelings.
Okay. All right. But what the original statement was that as a, not whether I see it or not, but as an actual factual whether it is or not.
It doesn't matter what the universe is, as Ken asked me. Are you seeing it or am I seeing it? I don't care what Ken is seeing, and etc. It is to you as you are. The world is as it is, and it is to you as you are. If you're not living as your eternal self, as you choose, then you are living your discontent.
Right.
Is that okay, Patrick?
Only slightly. I still got this notion that even if I'm living screwed up, worried about my existence as Patrick, the universe is to me as I am.
The universe is to you as you am, but you can't see it. You can't know it. You don't understand it.
Well, I absolutely agree. I don't understand.
Then it doesn't matter whether it is or it is not. As far as you're concerned, it is not, because you can't see it. Your eyes are clouded by your emotions. Your emotions were ways and manners to keep your body alive and have nothing to do with you.
I'm going to refer to that pink t-shirt that I brought you a few years ago that said Intimidator across the back or the front. I can't remember which. Does that not mean that you were to me as I am?
Isn't it? Everything.
Yeah, but I wasn't. That was me all wound up in personal path.
I don't understand where you're going, Pat, and I don't at all understand why you're stuck where you are. Where did I go wrong?
There seems to be you're setting up a this or that, and I can't understand how the hell that this or that can possibly exist.
I don't know what this or that is that you're talking about. I have no conceivable.
You're saying that either in the absence of awarefully declaring and living who I am, then the universe isn't to me as it is.
I didn't say that. I said, but you can, it is to you, but you couldn't see it, so it might as well not be. You could exist, if you could exist, but if you don't have memories and knowing, it doesn't matter whether you exist or not. It has no meaning or significance for you. Then in the same way, it could be that way for you, but it has no meaning and significance for you because you're not living as your eternal self, you're living as your emotional self.
I got that. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Whew. Okay. So then it is as you, in that regard, as a mortal emotional self that you're living.
Yes.
If you can't see yourself, and I can't see you, does that mean yourself is false or an illusion, as Buddhism says? Does that mean that all self-identification is false? That self-identification is ego, and your ego is false.
Well, Buddhism say that.
No, I'm asking you. I said that. I just threw the Buddhism in there because I'm not saying this is an illusion. Buddhism says it's an illusion. Is it possible that that's all crap?
Well, more than possible. I think it is crap.
Then, what self are you willing to live?
It does get to that, doesn't it?
That's right. That's where we started, and that's where we still are on page 2. Now, here is a question. If yourself is emergent as you go, and it is, is there a you that exists before it exists? Or is there a you that is eternal?
That's an Andrew question.
Okay, Andrew. That was passed off to you.
Yeah, I got that. That's a really good question. I'm going to say no. There is not a before. It's emergent, and it exists when it's emergent.
It exists when it is emergent. That what you're telling me?
Huh? I am.
There is no you that exists before it exists.
That's what I'm saying.
So there's no potential that exists before you exist.
Yeah.
That there is no eternal you that existed before you exist.
I think that's correct.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Andrew came out of the soup.
What?
Andrew came out of the soup.
Well, I kind of know that we sort of have a... Right, I'm just going to stick with this. I'm going to say no. Mm-hmm.
So, my question to Pat was, is that all right with him?
Yes, it is. No, it's not, as I said it.
Well, I sure got lost in that. Did anybody follow that? I was reading...
I'm just playing around with Pat.
Is it possible...
Go ahead.
Then if there is no eternal that exists before you exist, what are you going to do? What's this true self that everybody talks about? How do you realize a true self? If you say to me, well, I'm not really Andrew, but there's a true self that I know or I can realize. How do you realize this true self?
I think what people call their true self.
You what?
I think what people call their true self is what they would be if they were always doing as they truly desire. I think when people...
If they were living and being and doing what they would be willing to be and do and live eternally, that would be as close as you could get to as they truly desire. Yeah.
So we always know when we're not doing as we truly desire, which keeps us searching for this elusive true self.
But then it could also mean that this elusive true self is not something that is the core of you. It is something that you create in every lifetime.
This elusive true self we create in every lifetime?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that okay, Andrew?
It is okay, yes.
And you're
That's
saying we create it with material from...
You create an image of that, what you do, the summary of what you do and have done or thought or felt, and etc. And all of that is the creation of a true self. That there is no true self. If everything is emergent, then there can be no true self prior. There can be all sorts of constituents, but there can't be a true self.
Well, not if it's always...
Huh?
Not if it's always new.
That's right. Because it's constantly emergent.
Yeah.
As you go along, you're changing and altering or maintaining or adding new constituents. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Is it possible for an eternal self to be emergent from what otherwise appear to be different constituents?
I'm going to chew on that for a second. Is it possible for an eternal self to be comprised
in other
of
words,
things other
if it's possible for a constant and consistent eternal self to be emergent from what appear to be different constituents, then it is possible that there can be a continuing emergent eternal self. Is that okay, Patrick?
But it can't ever be defined.
Well,
as
maybe
soon as you
can.
Talk about it, it's changed already.
What?
As soon as you talk about it, describe it, it's changed already.
No, not necessarily. Because what I said is apparent different constituents.
Okay.
I guess.
Hey, Raj, you were talking about a true self, and all of that is the creation of a true self. And then it went dead.
I said, if everything is emergent, is it possible for an eternal self to be and continue from apparently different constituents?
I'm sorry, I do need that just one more time.
We were going through the whole thing that if everything is emergent, then there is no self that was before, no self that continues, because it's emergent in every moment. Now I'm asking you,
yes,
is it possible for you to conceive that there is, or that a continuing true self could be emergent from apparently different constituents?
I can conceive of that in the same way I can conceive that different hydrogen and oxygen come together to form something called water that has, for all intents and purposes, the same properties. so any way I can conceive of this.
So, the constituents could appear to be different, but not actually be different. Is this correct?
I think so, yeah.
So if you're always living, if you say how you will be alive, then no matter how you are living in that regard, it appears to be different, and yet it is how you would be and be alive. The constituents appear to be different, and yet they're not, which then means only in that way would the emergent be consistent. Are you all gone again?
No, I thought maybe they had.
Yeah, well.
Right. No, I was just listening. I thought everybody had too. Right. I understand what you said. Yes.
Is it
possible to me?
Okay. Is it possible that you are not eternally something, but could be?
Yeah.
Is it possible that you are not eternally something until you declare and define yourself and be that?
Makes sense to me, yes.
And in being that, then no matter what you are doing, what the constituents are of your doing, though they appear different, they are in fact not different?
That's really interesting. Hmm.
Is it possible that you have the right to be who and what you desire?
Yes.
But that you must decide, you must declare, and you must be that. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
You're okay. So you as a personal being today, Andrew, must decide, declare, and be who you are willing to be and live eternally, or nothing will appear. Is that okay?
Yeah, nothing or nothing. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, no different than if I don't put assemble hydrogen and oxygen, water won't appear.
If we say, then the eight things that we've been dealing with and getting people to list and show me, that those eight things indicate as a provenance of you and your eternal self living together, that they come from the fact that you're listing things that you are proud of. You're talking about the things you are proud of, not that you are proud of yourself for doing those things. The things themselves reveal you as an eternal being. If you list the things that you are proud of in having done, then in that you are only expressing and maintaining your personal self. Do you understand?
Yeah, I think so.
No, the question is you do or you don't, and if you don't, then bring it up so
then
we can discuss it, because we've
so.
Been through this again and again and again.
Then just please say it once more. That'll help.
The eight things I've asked you to list, eight things that you have done or accomplished, past tense, that you are extremely proud of. Proud of means the things you are proud of. If Jennifer says, "Oh, I'm proud of having children," She's proud of herself for having children. She is not necessarily proud of the children per se. Because if I ask her, how is she proud of the children? She has nothing at this point to be proud of as the children. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So that if the things list that you are proud of yourself for having done this, then you're maintaining yourself as a personal being or personal self, and you are not illustrating yourself as an eternal being. Is that okay?
That's okay. I just don't necessarily understand why that is.
The why it is, because if it's something you have done that you are proud of for having done it, you're talking about you. And if you're talking about the thing, you're talking about it.
That's right, it.
That's why. And if we're
so
saying
it is eternal?
What?
The it is eternal, or the essence of it reveals eternal.
I said that the thing reveals your eternal self.
Got it.
Didn't say it was eternal.
I got you.
It's like a Kodak picture of your eternal self. This is a Kodak picture of your eternal self.
Then I do now understand that, yes.
So the eight things must be not something that you are proud of for having done, but that you are proud of the thing itself.
Yep, thanks for going over that. I do understand that now.
So then when I ask you, why are you, or in what way are you proud of this thing, and you give me an answer, are you not answering, I am proud of my eternal self in this way and manner?
Yes.
Makes sense?
It does.
And no pride of self gets in the way.
Oh yeah, that's right. Fact is, if I talk of pride of self, I'll probably have a list of different things.
Absolutely. And so
okay.
That list only maintains pride of your personal self and reveals nothing about your eternal self.
Right.
So, if these little exercises that we're talking about in this regard is about your eternal self awakening that in your life today, what is this all about?
It's about awakening for myself an understanding of, if I go on, or since I will go on it as a recurring, then how I want to go on is that. How do I want that to be?
Well, can we say that if you don't decide how it will be, you won't go on? You can't say, if I go on, I'll decide how it'll be. If you don't decide, you won't go on.
So then what we're doing is initiating the going on.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that is okay.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Sure is.
So, if what we're doing in this then is looking for an image of yourself as to how you would be willing to go on eternally. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any reason that you can't decide how you want to go on eternally?
I think, in fact, there is no reason I could not do that.
For you, Patrick?
Well, I, my answer
answer is the same. I can't think of any reason why I could not.
So you could decide that and live that and live then as an eternal being right now.
Yep. There's probably a problem with that, though.
What?
Right now, I would probably choose some overcoming of whatever it is I'm judging and discontenting about at this moment, which would only perpetuate my discontent.
Let me start over again. If I ask you to tell me or list 8 things that you are proud of that you have done in and of the past, could you give me that list?
I'm sorry, Roger, cut out for a second. If you ask me to do 8 things, and then it cut off.
If I ask you to give me a list of 8 things that you have already done in the past, that you are proud of, and you give me that list, are you willing to then say that the first item is an image or a statement of the eternal self you'd be willing to be and live forever?
I'm willing to say that, yes.
What?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do in all of this is to get you out of your damned emotions and your piss-offs and your upsets and your overcomings. Tell me something you've already done that you're proud of.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah.
So then you're in that, then, are you not telling me who and what your eternal self is?
Yes, in that I am.
Okay. If I did a reading for you and this sentence appeared in the reading, you were someone who, if there were going to be lords in the land, people really wanted them, the lords that is, to be like you. Someone who brought something of wonder to life, to their life. Someone who brought something that gave people hope and inspiration for their lives. And this is what you did. Would it be all right to create that image of yourself as having done that, be proud of that, and accept that as an image of your eternal self, and live that in your life today?
It would be. Yes, it would be.
So whether it's the 8 things, the provenance of your eternal self, or in a reading in that regard, what we're doing is giving you an image. You've been so busy denying yourself that we're sort of going around the back door to give you an image of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything other than, let's say, doing this, bringing hope and inspiration to others? Is there anything other than that that you would rather be or do?
No.
And if you say yes, there is, I would say, what is that that you'd be willing to be and do that's other than that? And then if you give me an answer to that, I would say, would you be willing to be and do that eternally?
Mm-hmm.
If I then asked you, would you be willing to be the person who brought hope and inspiration to others today, in your life today, and if you were to do that, you would be living as an eternal being, as a self-chosen eternal being, would you be willing to do that?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Then the question then is only, you've made the choice, are you then willing to declare, yes, that's the eternal self I would live, and then live it?
Yes. Yes.
And if that then is what you live, no matter what the constituents may appear to be, they're all of the same ilk, that they are constituents that bring hope and inspiration to others. Is it possible then that from one life to the next life, even though it's emergent, you continue?
Continue?
Yes.
Hmm.
If I, in 200 BC, said, okay, I will discover how the universe works and tell people, and I'm still doing that, is it possible that carrying that eternal self on, that I recognize myself in every lifetime since 200 BC?
Indeed.
Huh?
Indeed.
And no matter who I am or what I am doing, I recognize myself from 200 BC. Making that choice, that declaration, and begin to live that.
Yes.
Then if you made this choice and declaration and live that today, then this forward would be a form of bringing an expression of your eternal self, bringing hope and inspiration to others. Would that be a way you'd be willing to live?
Yeah.
Could you, as personal Andrew, live the job you are living and at the same time live as an eternal being, bringing hope and inspiration to others? Could you do the two combined?
Yep, I could.
And no matter what all this does is flesh out more fully than a more complete description of those eight things, or the first item, which is a picture of your eternal self. Is this okay?
Pretty good.
And if you're following these exercises that we're talking about here, or these processes, which are normal processes, you could then begin seeing an image of yourself in this way. Bringing hope and inspiration to others, no matter what the form of it is.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's great.
And if you had that, would you be, my question is, would you be willing to be that and live that?
Yes.
But doing these processes that we're talking about here in this regard is to help you finally have an image of yourself, a very clear image of yourself being and doing as an eternal self. Is that okay?
Yes.
Not just a bunch of adjectives and adverbs, I'd be Mr. Goody Guy, sweet guy, complete everything, be a commodore. Oh, I'd be an admiral. I'd advance from a commodore to be an admiral.
Same thing.
Say admiral.
One star.
That's right. It's the commodore that they don't have that rank except during wartime. Is that right? During peacetime, there is no such thing as a commodore.
Except in the auxiliary.
Huh?
Except in the auxiliary.
Yeah, okay.
Or a yacht club.
What are we talking about?
So, now I want to go over last week and just for a moment here. So, in awakening your eternal self, it is then this image of yourself. It's there, but you've denied it for so long, being so focused on paying Caesar that you lost this image. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
Is it possible that you can focus on paying Caesar in a way that it is expansive focus, not narrowing focus?
What do you mean?
Is it possible that is it possible for you to realize that instead of shutting everything out to focus on what you're doing, that you're so involved in what you're doing that that is merely only a context for bringing awareness to yourself?
You mean that, like, the paying Caesar activity is only a context for bringing awareness to myself?
I mean about that in everything you do.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I see, sure.
For instance, as sort of an example here, you could focus on, so completely on focusing on cooking dinner. You'd say, well, I'm in a hurry, I got to get this done, and focus completely on cooking dinner. And shut everything else out. Or is it possible that you could focus on cooking dinner but open yourself up to, let's say you have a discomfort of pain in your life, and find out that the answer to the pain in your life comes to you through an awareness of the food you're eating, the food you're cooking, what you're doing. In other words, that's only a way or a context for understanding a problem in your life. You understand?
Yeah.
I think so.
So then, instead of just focusing on these as being only exercises for seeing your eternal self, it's that number one we talked about yesterday is a focus for everything in your life that is merely then a context for gaining the understandings that you desire and awarenesses you desire in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a feeling that's not really getting across.
Let me see if I can bounce it back at you. It's just doing the particular job that I'm doing right now, or digging in the garden, or whatever I happen to be doing.
Wait just a minute now. Let me interrupt for a minute.
Yeah.
Could you work in the garden in such a way that your focus is not only on the gardening, but is on you doing the gardening?
Yeah.
In other words, can you see your hands doing the gardening, or do you focus on the gardening you're doing?
well, let's see. I think I see my hands doing the gardening, and I can focus on the gardening itself, the task.
I said or.
Oh. I could see either or, yeah.
I said, which? I said, do you?
I guess I guess I didn't know.
That's right, but then I'm bringing this up because we're running out of time here. The next time you go do something, look, are you focused on your doing the thing, or are you so focused on the thing you are doing?
I guess I'm focused on a thing I'm doing and I lose track of myself doing
That's absolutely correct, and that's the trouble. You should be focused on your doing the thing. That means then your awareness is on everything, and everything comes to you only in the context of whatever you're doing at that moment.
Interesting.
That's what last week was about, expansive focusing. But what we normally do is you get so screwed up tight on the thing you're doing that you block everything out. I want you to be aware of yourself doing such that everything comes to you in that context. That's what last week was about, okay?
All right.
Do you suppose it is possible for you to be so aware of yourself doing, let's say, the gardening, that you could step aside and see yourself doing the gardening?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you suppose that in that gives you a different position to really feel and see and understand what it is you are doing? In other words, doing the gardening is not an interference for you in the doing, nor is it an interference with you seeing yourself do it, but in fact, then it is through the awareness of that the awareness of yourself comes through in that context. That's a couple of the other things that are in here that we're getting into. I'm just trying to show you that while we're talking about bringing your eternal self into this so that you can be aware of this, the object of all of this is that these are normal processes that you can use in your everyday life.
Right. I got you.
Well, I guess we better quit right there while we're ahead. If we're ahead. You still with us, Pat, or have you left us?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, I thought you'd left us. Is this okay with you somehow or other?
I think far better than it was last week, yes.
Well, okay. Next week I'll try not to write another introduction, but if I have long conversations with people,
we'll have to
quiet down. I may have to write another introduction. We'll go on with number two. All right. Bye now.